Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many, many blessings you pour upon us each and every day. And now the blessed opportunity to get back into your word. Help us now as we do that to understand it, apply it in the right way, and draw closer to you through it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word guidance, if you will turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here we see some further guidance given to Timothy that also we can all learn from and apply in our lives, given to Timothy by Paul as he continues to teach Timothy how to be a pastor and an evangelist, and gives him the guidance that we can also follow as well in our service for the Lord, as he's teaching him here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, him here being Jesus Christ, we shall also live with him. And of course, that is everlasting life, to be with the Lord. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Things that they were dealing with back then, they still deal with today. People get hung up on some of the trivial little things, a particular word, the way it's spelled, the way it's pronounced, and can have strife to the point of division. And it shouldn't be that way. And 2 Timothy 2:15 here is an awesome verse that we can all learn from and take guidance, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're doing here now, is we are studying his word. So we need to have that burning desire to always study as much as we possibly can. So, as he says here, through that study, that we show ourselves approved unto God. Because it is his will that we know his word and his will. So we learn that through studying his word and listening to the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Reads, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So when you're out there spreading the gospel, when you're talking to others, when you're studying yourself, that you can understand and comprehend it and not be ashamed because you don't know it. He's rightly dividing the word of truth. That means to really dig down deep and find the details and to rightly divide it. That means to truly understand it and apply it in the correct way. To even break it down and analyze it and then be able to share it. Read 15 again. A study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And of course, the word of truth is the word of God, the Holy Bible that he has preserved for us. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Getting back up to that other problem he's speaking of there, about getting hung up on a particular word or a particular belief that isn't commonly understood or shared. And vain babblings basically means worthless or fleeting away, not good for anything. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. He names two here that they were dealing with back then that were teaching some false teachings, actually. As it says here in verse 18, he explains some of them. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. This Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching that the rapture had already occurred, and that they were in the tribulation. This may have been because of so much persecution that they were suffering at the time. It gave them that thought that this has got to be the tribulation. It's so horrible right now. But it wasn't. And it still isn't. You have this false teaching of us being in the tribulation who still goes on today, which is false. The rapture has not occurred yet. The resurrection there is what he's speaking of, is the resurrection of those that are born again that have passed away. Has not occurred. They have not yet received their glorified bodies. We haven't been caught up in that moment in a twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord for eternity and for him to establish the millennial kingdom. None of that has taken place yet. So we've got to get things in their proper order and teach them properly. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows his, he knows his family, he knows his children, he knows those that are born again, reconciled to him, brought back from the dead, spiritually alive. He knows them. He knows all of us that have done that, all of us that are part of his family. And we need to, as he says, depart from iniquity. We need to come out from among that. We need to be separate from that. We need to be no longer partakers with the evil iniquity of the world. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. A great house. Mankind. There are good folks and there are bad folks. There are righteous and there are unrighteous. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now here he's getting into the actual condition that we all find ourselves in, like Paul taught elsewhere, where we're in the midst of a battle, a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. There are things within us that need to be suppressed, need to be controlled, need to be, actually it says, killed away, mortified. Those desires, those thoughts, those things that are of evil, those that are iniquity that is in each and every person needs to be suppressed, taken away, cleansed, removed. And that could be done by the power of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And we can glorify the Lord in our bodies because we are those vessels that he's speaking of here. Go back to 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We get ourselves cleaned up by the power and the might of Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Ghost, and then we are fit for use, fit for the kingdom. Read 21 again. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. A vessel. We got to understand that we are a vessel. We are a tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Sanctified. That means set aside for a specific task. And meet for the master's use. And prepare to do every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. There again, talking about that tug of war that we're having, those youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Note, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Your association, the group that you hang with, the group that you associate with. Yes, we are to go out into the world and spread the gospel and share the blessings. by sharing the gospel. But as far as linking up with them, don't link up with them. As it says, don't be unequally yoked. We need to help them, guide them, but not become a part of them. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Once again, getting back into that subject of how certain discussions, certain things, certain questions can lead to problems. They need to be avoided. It says, foolish and unlearned questions. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Servant of the Lord, don't be so rigid and dogmatic that you become an offense to others. You need to understand their condition, understand their status as far as the situation that they have in their growth. Are they still babes or are they mature Christians? You got to interact with people according to where they are in their spiritual growth. And if they're not born again at all, you got to adapt to that as well. And reach them in a way that doesn't offend them and push them away. You need to draw them in, not push them away, by being too rigid in your stand that they are pushed away rather than drawn in. Very careful balance there. Never compromise your faith. Never compromise standing on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Never compromise the Word of God. But there's only so much an individual that does not understand or know the Word of God can comprehend or handle. You don't feed a baby a sirloin steak. You got to feed them milk. And as they grow, then they can handle more. So you got to be very careful the way you treat babies as well as the lost or newly born again Christians. Back it all up to 23 there again. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's those that need to be reached. That's those that need to be guided. So receive the guidance from the Holy Ghost, and then become a guide to help others that you interact with in that gentle and meek way, so that you can draw them in, not push them away. Very careful balance there. All right, let's go right on into chapter 3 here. There is, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, this was written some 2,000 years ago. And we know perilous times have been throughout history and are currently happening. But the perilous times that we see prophesied are far worse in the very last days than they are right now. But there are definitely perilous times going on today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Dealing with it back then, we are really dealing with it today, and it's going to continue to get worse. The closer we get to that time period they speak of as being the last days. So as we see these things being fulfilled, we should get excited. As we see the increase of this behavior that you just spoke of, that should motivate us to be that much more active, knowing that it can't be much longer till the Lord comes back and raptures us up. Let's read that again from the very beginning. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They sure a lot of that going on. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This form of godliness, these that claim that they are on a good pathway, that claim they are good, that claim that they are godly, that are not godly, that are truly ungodly. As it continues, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, out there studying the wrong things. They're not studying the Word of God. They're studying everything else, getting all their little stamps of approval and their little certificates stick up on the wall. All their false teachings, all their lies and hypocrisies, they're studying it. They're knowing it. They're sharing it with others. But it's lies. If it doesn't come from the wisdom of God, it is worthless. That's all there is to it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He was dealing with that back then. We're still dealing with it today. And now he talks about some others here. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of accountability. There will be a day of revelation. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul giving a little bit of testimony there about the things that he had to go through. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Giving us the example there. He was a godly man, and he suffered. When you are out there doing an active work for the Lord, the devil's going to come at you with all kinds of stuff. He's going to come at you in ways that you didn't think he could possibly do. But hang on. Trust in the Lord. He can see you through it. He sure saw Paul through some horrible things. And know that as we overcome those things, that we learn and we grow and become stronger and stronger and builds our faith, our trust, and our testimony to others. As it continues, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. No, not only deceiving, but they are being deceived. The more they are deceived themselves, the more determined they are to deceive others, because they begin to believe the very lies that they are spewing out. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This here is such a profound statement when it comes to who are you going to look at as being your teacher, your guide. Consider the source. Always consider the source. Where did that come from? Did it come from the Lord or from Satan? There's only two sources. So when you're listening to a preacher, pastor, evangelist, witness of any sort, where did that come from? Did it come from the word of the Lord, or did it come from that individual's thoughts, minds, attitudes, opinions? When I get up and preach, and you listening to what I'm saying, you need to be considering every word I speak. Is that based on the word of God, or is it just my opinion? If it's just my opinion, take it for what that's worth. My opinion is sometimes correct. My opinion is sometimes flawed because I'm human. So always consider the source. Can it be backed up with the Word of God? Can it be backed up by an understanding given to you by the Holy Ghost as, yes, that is truth, that is real, that is accurate? Or, nah, that's just some misunderstanding of the person that is speaking. Got to be very careful. Always consider the source. It's got to be based on the Word of God. Otherwise, it's fleeting away. Vain babblings. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Only listen to those that you can truly trust that are in the Word of God and spreading and sharing the Word of God. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, speaking specifically to Timothy here, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This next one is really awesome here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 16 and 17 there, that is our guide. That is the guide that we can go by, the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, inspired by God. The men that wrote this down were inspired by God. Therefore, you can trust the source. Where'd you get it? Where did it learn? They got it straight from the Lord. They wrote it down. We can trust it. He has preserved it all these many years for us because it is accurate and true. Be very careful with the various translations that have been developed through the many years, because some of them have been perverted. Some of them have been watered down, diluted. But if you pray, sincerely pray, and ask the Lord to give you an understanding of His will and of His Word, no matter what translation you have, you can find some truth in it that comes from that revelation of the Holy Ghost that is within you when you truly trust in the Lord. So no matter what language it's been translated into, or what version that it is, if it is a Bible, if it has some of the Word of God in it and some of man's word that they stuck in there, when you truly pray and ask the Lord for understanding, He can give you the truth that can be found in that. And that is so awesome that we can take confidence in that. So whatever translation you have and whatever language it may be, then you can study that. We all don't have to go back and learn the ancient Greek and Hebrew. It'd be awesome if we could, and then get our hands on some of the Dead Sea Scrolls or something even older than that and study that. That'd be awesome. But we don't all have that capability. We don't all have that available to us. So take what you have, study it, pray when you read it. Personally, I prefer the King James Version. I grew up with the King James Version. I understand it better than anything else that's out there that I've read, and confident in it as being the most accurate English translation that there is. All right, 16 and 17 again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means inspired by a God to write it down, and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the study and belief and application of the truth. For reproof. Reproof. I mean, so you can test things, so you can determine whether this is right or wrong, whether this is godly or ungodly. For correction. It's the rod that gives us the directions there to we can correct our pathway to get right on what we need. For instruction in righteousness. Lets us know how we need to behave by studying His Word. As He tells it here in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. And He explains what perfection is, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're never going to be perfect in this realm, in this body. When we receive our glorified body and we're with the Lord for eternity, then we will truly be perfect, in no more corruption whatsoever. But currently, we're still fighting that battle, that tug of war. So we can study His Word and be as thoroughly furnished as we possibly can. And then in chapter 4, going to Timothy from Paul, reads, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You can do that by studying the Word of God, using the Scriptures. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's what we see in the world. That's what we see with some of these translations. That's what we see with some of these compromising churches who have become so appealing to the world because they are of the world. They are worldly, and they teach fables, made-up stuff, feel-good stuff, pep rallies, I call them, the fluffing stuff, what do people want to hear. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, making full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul, giving this letter to Timothy, the last letter that he wrote, because shortly after that, he had his head cut off by Nero. Paul suffered a lot. And he gave us some awesome teaching here that he gave to Timothy that we can apply to ourselves as well. And know that there's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of compromisers that have watered down the Word of God, that are just in it for their own selfish gain, to secure their position, their power, their authority, their profit, and give the people exactly what they want to hear. Oh, you're okay just the way you are. Continue your life. Just come on in here every Sunday and give me your money and you'll be just fine. That's not what we should be preaching and teaching. We need to teach the correct Word of God. We need to teach them to come out from among the world and be different. Just as He instructed us there in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The guidance that we can find when we get into the Word of God, and when we study it, as He said there in 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. So study it, get into it, it becomes our guide, listen up to the Holy Ghost, stand on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, trust in His Word, and share His Word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You oh so much for being our guide, for giving us this book preserved so that we can study it and understand it and apply it in the right way. Help all of us have that burning desire to continually study so that we can be the kind of person that You want us to be, thoroughly furnished to good works. Thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.